Welcome to the Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Are you a small business owner who thinks they pay too much in taxes? We can help. Give us a call or book a meeting by clicking the link in the show notes to book a free financial consultation so you can have peace of mind about your financial future. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, here with my co-host, Al McDonald. Al, welcome back. We've got the first recordings of 2024. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, it's exciting. Exciting to be back at recording the podcast, meeting some new people. And of course, with a new year, we've been getting some nice weather. And that makes me happy because I'm looking forward to getting out on my bike, which I've done already once this year, the earliest ever. So
wow,
it's all good. It's all exciting.
Well, the sun is shining. It's Podcast Friday. You know, that's my favorite day of the week and the month. So let's get started. Joining us today are Lindley and Rob McConnell, our second, actually, father and daughter team on the podcast. And a huge thank you goes out to Kaylee and Ed Gibbs for introducing us, because that was our first father and daughter team. And that particular podcast did phenomenally well. So here we go again. I'm going to do some bios because I think you two both have some really interesting backgrounds. So we'll start with Rob. Rob McConnell is the president and CEO of Gibson's Cleaners. Under Rob's leadership, Gibson's Uniforms, the company's uniform rental division, grew to over $5 billion in annual sales, which accumulated in the acquisition by Cintas, big company, Cintas Uniforms in 2016. Recognized as Fabricare Canada's Person of the Year in 2017, Rob has been a driving force in the dry cleaning and uniform rental industry and served as the board president for the Canadian Fabricare Association from 2020 to 2022. Rob is passionate about giving back and is the president of the McConnell Classic Committee, an annual charity golf event that has raised over $1.3 million for Campfire Circle, which we know as Camp Ochagias up in Muskoka. Rob is a former University of Vermont hockey player and an avid golfer. He and his wife, Nancy, recently embarked on an adventurous trip to Antarctica. Rob, that's not one you hear every day, so we can talk about that a little more as we get into it. Now, Lindley is the director of client experience at Gibson's Cleaners. Prior to joining Gibson's, Lindley worked in change management at Deloitte and crisis communications as a public relations manager. Passionate about her family business, Lindley's focus has been building corporate partnerships with brands like Canada Goose and initiated a meaningful partnership with Dress for Success Toronto. And I definitely want to talk to you about that as we get into the podcast. Lindley is also a monthly columnist for Fabricare Canada and sits on the board of Fashion Group International Toronto. In her spare time, Lindley finds balance through yoga and tennis, embodying a well-rounded approach to both career and personal pursuits. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Robin. Thanks, Al.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. We appreciate the invitation.
We're excited to have you.
Yeah, and like Al and I've said, we've been very fortunate to meet really good people through the podcast, and our first call went really well, so I'm looking forward to getting to know you both a little bit better. But let's talk about the history of Gibson's, because 90 years, that is a long time to be in business. Maybe you can talk about, why do you think Gibson's has been around so long and survived all the changes that we've seen through those 90 years? Maybe we can start there.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable when you think about the history of Gibson's and how it started and where it is today. It's a very different company. Gibson started in 1929 as a textile dye house. So essentially dyeing fabrics, huge bolts of fabric. I think the main customer was the military and dyed fabrics, the cloth fabric for the seats for military vehicles. And then from there, the son of Joseph Gibson's, he diversified into the dry cleaning business. So from there, that was the move to our current location where our main plant is located at Dundas. And that was in '61. And Gibson's grew significantly in the dry cleaning industry, specifically in the area of the home pickup and delivery. I mean, they all remember back, or not, we all can't, but many can remember back to home pickup and delivery being very common, milk being delivered, the side of a house having a drop-off spot. So the transition with dry cleaning came to opening package plants. Gibson's maintained what we call a central plant, and we're still here at the 4241 location, our main facility. But from there, the diversification of the uniform rental business took place, and that's really where I jumped in, and we opened a new facility. That was 12 years ago, and built that part of the business up. And as it said in the bio, we grew the uniform company and sold that to Cintas in 2016. And we're continuing on in the dry cleaning. And it's been great having Lindley on board as we take the next steps. So, you know, the evolution from textile dyeing to dry cleaning to focusing now a lot on the B2B business and back into home pickup and delivery, which is a big focus.
Yeah. And I think just jumping off of that, like we've always been kind of in the textile care realm. But I think something my dad's always said is that we've been like a value centric business. And I think that's been able to kind of carry Gibson's through like change, especially with our core values is thoughtfulness. I think we've been the thoughtful cleaner since like close to 1929. That's our core value, being thoughtful to our team members, community and clients, and then accountability and responsiveness. And I think obviously changing with your customer and identifying ways to change with the times. I mean, as you know, maybe the dry cleaning industry had its lows, that's when uniform rental had its highs, especially after the pandemic. Identifying new opportunities, pickup and delivery has been huge because people got more used to Amazon coming to their door to door. People are now working hybrid, so they're actually home to receive their cleaning. And then we've seen a lot of businesses diversify into maybe other areas of the home. So cleaning patio cushions or cleaning rugs, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that to listen to Lindley and really she hit that we've had this tradition that we respect and maintain, but we've also recognized to continue to survive and flourish and grow, we've got to be open to change and we've got to be creative and look at the future. So you can look at the past and say, oh, wow, it's been great. Everything's been, we've been a wonderful company and doing great things, but we love the fact that that's happened and we love the tradition, but we also know the future is a whole different ballgame.
As I was driving in this morning and I was thinking about questions that I would ask you, and through your answers, you're creating more questions. But the one that was on my mind, and I'd love to get your take on this because you would see this more than I would. When I first entered the industry in insurance, there was not even a question. You were wearing a suit and tie as a man, right? Every day. So I had a great relationship where I was living with my dry cleaner. I got to know them really well. It was actually a family who lived in my neighborhood, so I got to know them. And then we went through that period where everything became a little more casual. Maybe at first we weren't wearing a tie. And then, of course, when we all went to working from home, and of course, here I am alone in the office today. I'm wearing a sweater, but it's Friday, right? But I had said to Al last week, I said, if we're going to be in the office more, because we've decided that we're going to be in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday and Friday are kind of days you can be at home. But I had said, Al, there's a certain image I want to project for the company and being professional. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, I'm wearing a jacket, I'm wearing a nice shirt, and I felt really good about it. And I had even, just prior to the pandemic, I'd started wearing a tie, much to my business partner Joe's chagrin, because I don't think I've ever seen Joe in a tie. But it looked really good and I felt really good about it. But then the pandemic hit and I was working from home and it was always casual. But I find there's a swing back to that now. I pulled up my tie drawer the other day and I was looking and I was like, I like these. I might start wearing them again. What are you seeing in that trend? Are people starting to go back? Because a lot of people are, I know people are staying remote.
Yeah.
We talked to a client last night that he's staying remote, but there are a lot of people like us who are having hybrid and being in the office a little more. Is that trip pendulum swinging back to where people are dressing up a little bit more because they are going to the office now?
Well, I mean, I have so many thoughts on this. 30% of dry cleaners closed during the pandemic because there was really no need for the service. We're directly impacted by how people dress and how they choose to dress, other than, you know, maybe someone just wanting the convenience of our service. I think post-pandemic, we've definitely seen, I mean, we're growing faster than ever, which is really exciting, but kind of identifying two kinds of customers. We have those who are investing in luxury items that want to be cleaned and cared for properly. I've never seen more like luxury items in our plant. And then we also have people who we call them kind of like once a year who are getting maybe their Canada Goose coat. We're an authorized Canada Goose dry cleaner. We're recommended by Moose Knuckles. And as Canadians, you know, you're probably investing in a high quality winter wardrobe piece. And that means you want to make sure it's cleaned for properly if you're spending, you know, you save up all this money. I think with regard to you kind of getting dressed up for the office, I always think about that, like dress to impress. Like I kind of want to impress myself first thing in the morning. So I kind of come to work every day and try to like make an outfit out of my current wardrobe. I think styles have definitely shifted back to more like casual. I think it's just more personal preference and personal style preferences, depending on, you know, you're looking in your tie drawer thinking, oh, you know what? I kind of like these. I'm going to like get back into my tie game. But then maybe, you know, a few months it gets hot outside and you're like, I actually really like my like linens and I'm just going to kind of throw those on. I mean, one thing, real estate here on the radio, how many vacant office spaces there are downtown. So I'm really curious in the next year, 2 years to see this push, like maybe from bigger companies to say, hey, it's no longer hybrid. I'm just curious. But I mean, at the same time, you have to meet your employees where they're at too. Yeah. So that's hard.
Just a thought came to mind, as Linda said, this push back to the office. But I think as the larger companies, the banks, the trust companies, the insurance companies start formulating policy and saying, okay, we need to formulate and structure this hybrid. So it's a little tighter, not quite as loose, but a friend that's with RBC and he's pretty adamant about getting back. And he said, the pajama party has to end sooner or later. So
yeah,
I think the pajama party is ending. And having said that, I like what you said about, you know, how you feel. And that's really hits home because when you do put that jacket, that shirt, I am in agreement. You actually feel better. And I think that relates to productivity and efficiencies. And it really ultimately lends itself to culture. And I don't know, with your organization, say, you know, are you looking forward to getting back from a culture perspective as well with your team? I mean, I'd be interested in hearing what your thoughts are on that.
I'll take that one. And it's interesting to say that because, again, Robin and I did have that conversation. And I think that's a big part of it for us is, number one, we're a client service business. Our clients do expect us to be reachable. And that's maybe a little bit tougher. But I think the one thing that I've noticed more than anything is, you know, just the collaboration. And it's really interesting to see. We've got some new people, people that it might be their first job or early in their career. And it is very interesting to see how they interact with other people and that chemistry that just goes on, the 5-minute conversations that wouldn't happen if we were sitting like this. But because you go down, you know, you're grabbing a coffee, you just happen to go by to someone's desk and a conversation happens and someone picks up something that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise had a conversation about. So that's what I notice. And again, we've had this conversation that that is part of the culture and it's part of the learning that happens that wouldn't otherwise be happening just with remote. So it seems to be working out okay. It seems to be a good balance between being in the office and still having those days when you can work from home. Can I shift gears a little bit?
Yeah.
Because as Robin said, you're the second father-daughter team that we've had. So I wanted to maybe just dive down. Maybe it's a rabbit hole. Maybe it's not. What's it like working with family? And Linley, I'll start with you. What's it like working with dad all the time?
Well, for this conversation, we kind of talked about that, like family dynamics. And I don't know if our answer is kind of foreign because, I mean, my dad probably has more of a, I don't want to say interesting relationship. He joined his father-in-law's business and my mother was also working the business. So there's a lot of dynamics there. I do have a brother, but he's a barber in Picton. So he's following his passion there. So it's just my dad and I at this business, no cousins or anything. And I mean, I've always like looked up to my dad as a leader for sure. I think some of my entrepreneurial, I guess, passions or interests really stem from him. I remember like growing up, if we were on vacation, taking a walk, we'd always like brainstorm about marketing, you know, loyalty programs at Gibson. So, I mean, I really enjoy working with my dad. I think we're continuing to learn how to work with each other. I think sometimes it's difficult, also close with your dad. So, I mean, when things get maybe more emotional or you want to vent, it's like drawing the line between, you know, am I talking to you right now as employee to president, or am I talking to you as daughter to father? And calling that out once in a while.
Yeah. Linley has been such a huge breath of fresh air to Gibson's as well. And in terms of the energy she brings and from day one, that has had a huge impact. As you can probably tell, she moves quickly. She speaks quickly. She types quickly. And I think having the speed and the creativity that she brought to the table from her past and her past businesses, but just her demeanor has been wonderful and it's been good for me, specifically our relationship. I've been fortunate because I have worked in family business with my father-in-law, and I joined an organization called Canadian Association for Family Enterprise more than 30 years ago. And at that time, we had what they called a peer advisory group. So individuals who were in successful businesses looking at succession formed groups. And there's a group of 12 of us that started, and 10 of us are still together and we meet once a month. So what that's done for me is it's really helped me. And I think my working relationship with Lindley, and as she pointed out, understanding that connection and knowing that there's a time and a place for the business conversations. And I think we're pretty good. We don't take it home because that can be, you know, as much as you love it and you're maybe, or you've got issues, it can't be 24/7. So we catch ourselves and say, let's park this. And then the other is recognizing when we're, as Al said, maybe going down a bit of a rabbit hole. Like Lindley will go by my door and I'll be, what do you think? And then we get into something. Holy shoot. You know, we've talked for half an hour on something that really could have been part of one of our structured meetings.
Yeah.
I was just curious, and it's interesting that you brought up that organization, and I'm going to assume that it is really meant to help people who are in the family business maybe deal with some of the special dynamics of being in a family business.
Absolutely. And none of us are, we continuation, because over the time, things change. You know, we had companies that actually went public, we had companies that closed, we had retirements. So we just carried that on, but that's exactly what that association, I think its purpose is, for sure.
Yeah, and just building off of that, I joined a Women's Presidents organization. It's called WPO, and it's fantastic. It's international, and they have chapters in different cities. So you meet once a month, similarly, with non-competitive businesses. The women in our group range from, I guess, my friend Jen and I are on the younger side, with like 30 to people well into their 60s. And some of them are family businesses, some of them aren't. But I really loved it because aside from family business, I think small business, you can feel like you're on an island. I mean, to your point about my friends who work hybrid, I'm the mean friend. They're like, I don't want to work hybrid anymore. I'm like, you need to get back to the office to wear some dry, cleanable clothing. But at the same time, it's interesting. Like, you can really feel alone kind of in a more entrepreneurial or a small business lens. It is an industry, like machinery in the back, and talking to a woman who owns maybe like a food products company, we can kind of talk about staffing, talk about leasing, all that kind of thing.
Hal, when you first asked that question, and Lindley started speaking, I noticed something in Rob's face that I saw in Ed Gibbs' face. Same thing. We are going to send you a copy of this. I want you to have this because, Lindley, go back in this episode and watch when Al asked that question and just look at your dad's face.
Okay.
You can see the pride. And that's awesome to see because we saw that when Kaylee was speaking and Ed was just listening and realizing, wow, like I'm this young superstar in the company who is going to carry on the future. But I want to jump on something that you said early on in your answer. And you talked about the leadership of your dad. And I'd love to hear, Rob, your leadership style and what you've tried to implement at the company and maybe share with Lindley as she progresses through the company. And then Lindley, going forward, what's your leadership style to the people that are looking up to you and looking to you for answers in the company?
It's a great question. For me, I feel like the leadership, it evolves. And from the time I started as in the insurance industry, I had a couple of great mentors to learn from. And then moving into the dry cleaning industry, my father-in-law was wonderful. And you often hear horror stories about succession plans and working with, especially maybe a father-in-law being the outlaw rather than the in-law. And I said to Lindley, we were so fortunate, or I was so fortunate to have a father-in-law to really introduce me to this industry. And then he took the lead and got us involved in what we call cost groups. So organizations that included other dry cleaning industries, successful dry cleaning businesses that we would meet on a quarterly basis. But that really allowed me to delve into, from a leadership perspective, seeing how other successful companies operate, because that's really, for me, I'm a learner when it comes to, I look at who's doing it really well and seeing how that could fit into perhaps our future. When it comes to Lindley, I'll joke and say, I might end up with a good to great quote. You know, we've all read, and I don't, I've got looking across at my desk, and that book I found and still do. I think it's just, it's a fabulous book too, that really has stayed relevant. Vern Harnish, I'm not sure if you guys have followed me in Vern Harnish's work.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm a Vern Harnish fan, and seeing that that structure, he tries to keep it simple, and that moves into his organization called Traction. So when it comes to leadership, I'm a big believer in the structure, and we have implemented the Traction template for meetings, for starting with core values, identifying what they are, and then building on that. And we have a structured weekly meeting, and we follow it, and it starts off really focusing on the values of our organization and then looking at the goals. So as a small business, we set goals. We have KPIs in place. A lot of companies in our industry really don't kind of move that way. So from a leadership style, and then it's, again, having an open door policy, for sure, yeah, I can say that. But I think it's really critical that you have structured meetings on a weekly basis that it would allow, you know, you can park it and say, that's an opportunity to have that conversation. So that's really where I think that from a leadership perspective, I come from.
Yeah. I mean, it's something I identify in my dad's leadership style too, because he was, when he played competitive hockey, he was the captain of his team. Like, there are a few sports analogies when we started. I just think from like that team development, we did a strength finders, I guess just kind of finds your like top five strengths. And it was really interesting. Like, my dad's all in the developer, really loves to develop and mentor individuals. Whereas when it comes to my leadership approach, I'm still figuring it out. I've also had some really great mentors at Deloitte who were very structured. And I think that is a key to organization and chaos when you're maybe in a small business and understanding what fires to put out. And I also, you know, had a great mentor. I worked at Lululemon in retail over my time in university. And I have to say, from a company standpoint, I know it's had its ups and downs from a public relations perspective, but their training and customer service development and even people development is excellent. You set goals even just as a part-time retail associate. So I think the biggest challenge for me has been finding the line between being like well-liked and well-respected and trying to make sure that as a leader, you have to make the tough decisions. I think you subconsciously know that, but when you're younger and you're like, I want to be a president or I want to be a partner, and then you realize, oh, that actually comes with a lot more responsibility, and maybe it comes with not being as liked but respected, or making, yeah, the tough calls. That's been the biggest challenge and something I'm like continuing to work through. And I think it comes down to communication and making sure you communicate and say what you mean.
Sorry, Al, I'm just going to jump in because there's one thing Rob said in the beginning of his answer that I really liked, and it reminds me, it's where the title of this podcast comes from, Success Leaves Clues. It was a Tony Robbins quote that said, if you want to be successful, find people who are successful in your space, model their behaviors, their beliefs, their values, and you'll reap similar rewards. And it sounds like that's exactly what you've done. But the other piece, and this is more for Lindley that I'm going to share with you. So my dad was in the insurance business for almost 40 years. He was a new immigrant to Canada, had struggles that I had no idea that he struggled with. My older brother, who's now passed away, knew, because he was older. He's 7 years older, so he was more aware. But thankfully, I was never aware of all these struggles, but he ended up doing well. And I got to work with Dad for a period of about 2 years. And to this day, especially now that he's gone, those are my favorite memories. So the fact that you get to work with your dad, I'll just, for someone who's, you know, lost their dad now and that time is over, just cherish that time, because of course there's going to be the times where you butt heads over things, but it sounds like you have a great personal relationship and working relationship, and kudos to you for working so well together. Sorry, Al.
No, I just wanted to maybe delve a little bit more, Rob, into maybe your sports background, because I'm a big believer in team sports growing up, that it's a great breeding ground for life. Quite honestly, in team sports, you got to learn how to work with other people. You lose more than you win. You have to learn resiliency. So any lessons that you maybe were able to take from the ice rink to the boardroom?
I'd say absolutely. The answer is without a doubt. And you mentioned the teamwork. The successful teams that I played on, the roles were clearly defined and we had great coaching. And when you have a coach that makes you feel special and makes you feel that you have a talent that is important and it can be counted on, it may not be the goal scorer. It's the opposite. It's prevent the top line from scoring. It's your role out there is to ensure that you don't get scored against, because we'll let the guys that have the scoring talent take care of that. So relating specifically to hockey, it's understanding your roles and building a team. And I think that's absolutely critical in organization as well. If you can really work on that whole unique ability, but focusing on the strengths. But it's one thing to focus, but it's the other, able to communicate it, empower a player to really feel that's important, because it's one thing to say it, it's the other one to, I think it was earlier in the podcast, Robin said, it's how it makes me feel, how you're dressing up. It's the same thing. So yeah, I grew up in Burlington and played in Burlington with the Cougars, the tier two. So it was relatively high level. At the same time, it wasn't tier one. And I was at the right time to be able to receive a scholarship to go to the States to play at the University of Vermont. And I had decent grades. My hockey was fairly good. And it was just, I was in the right spot at the right time. And from there, moving into university was a whole nother level of hockey. But the one thing the Americans do very well is they combine that sport and academic relationship. So, and I still have the friendships I've developed, have maintained. Like, we still have the reunions.
When my dad gets together with his UVM friends, it's just like the smiles on their faces. And a lot of them are coming to my wedding at the end of April too. And yeah, like really special friendships.
Yeah. So going back to specifically, I like that connection, but the success, like, you know, it's one thing when you're successful, those relationships, they strengthen. You know, you hate to, when you're not successful, you usually find like, we've had like the parents don't get along, the kids don't get along. It's like, you know, I don't get enough ice time. That's what can happen. I'm not sure if you've experienced that as well.
Oh, yes, of course. I've grown up playing hockey and two of my kids did as well. So I've seen that. And that's very true. If you're having a great year, everybody gets along and they're best of friends. You're not having such a great year.
Yeah.
The coach, he's horrible.
Yes.
Well, the Leafs are the perfect example.
Exactly. Okay. I want to switch gears again a little bit if I can. Lindley, you had mentioned earlier, well, I guess it was in your bio, that you mentioned Dress for Success. Can you talk a little bit about that, what it is and how it started?
Yeah, of course. So Dress for Success is an international organization that has local affiliates. So Dress for Success Toronto is the closest affiliate to us. Like I said, Gibson's core value being thoughtfulness. We've always been involved in community relationships. We'll support a local church silent auction or a hockey team. But there is a really big opportunity and synergies between Dress for Success's mission and our business directly. So Dress for Success, their whole purpose is to empower women into economic independence. And they do that through career advancement programs. So they'll help you with your resume and skill building, but they also have a boutique in North York and they have something called a suiting program. So agencies sponsor someone to go to their boutique and they get two outfits to prepare them for their interview. And then if they get the job, they get a few more outfits. And all of those clothes are donated either by, you know, corporations, like they have a few corporate partners, or people like our customers. And our clients are people who, to Robin's point before, they're investing in their wardrobes. They want to look good. And honestly, it's not even well-worn clothing because they might get bored of a certain style and they're donating it for a cause. What I think is really awesome about the Dress for Success suiting program is that whole idea of impressing yourself and feeling confident to walk into a room and really own that interview. I think feeling good and looking good and having an outfit, especially for women, that makes them feel confident, can really make a big impact in an interview. So we are their official donation partners. So individuals can donate at any of our three locations. They have gone back to women only. They used to accept men's, but it's primarily women's clothing donations and accessories and shoes. So, I mean, our clients have been fantastic. We have really thoughtful clients who really take care of their clothing and they donate it. And we go once a week. And we're looking to kind of deepen that partnership in the future by potentially sponsoring some of their boutique elements. So helping them with hangers or helping them with rolling racks. Can we help them with storage, garment bags, that kind of thing as well?
That is neat. I'm glad you shared that. I hope someone maybe listening to this will pick up on that and maybe take advantage of it. And who knows, maybe land their first job.
Yeah,
there you go. Of course.
Exactly. Well, we're almost there. And I think you've already provided some of the answer, but we're almost at the point in the podcast where I'll signature question. But the one that I'd love to hear and hear from both of you, because I think it'll be a different answer for both of you, because the future for Rob and the future for Lindley, I think will probably look a little bit different. But what are you both most excited about for the future?
You know, that's interesting. No, because that's what we talk about a lot day to day. You know, Gibson's is in a, I won't say transitional phase. I'm getting to the age where I guess my dad was to kind of take over the helm and go into Antarctica. He's kind of shifting gears in terms of a new adventure in his life. I'm excited. It's been really cool to see our company and Gibson's and our team come out of COVID even stronger. During the pandemic was a really rough time. We lost 80% of our sales and now we're seeing, you know, double-digit growth. We're deepening corporate partnerships. We're finding our pickup and delivery services growing. And I think that just excites me about the future of the company and kind of becoming maybe the household dry cleaning name in the city, because, you know, our industry is very fragmented. I think it's really exciting to continue to build our dream team. We've really had some awesome legacy employees and a lot of awesome new team members who it's really just cool to see everyone working together, especially as we ramp up for our busy season. And then I think, again, continuing to like explore these community partnerships. I think Just for Success, the new executive director came for a tour 2 weeks ago. And it was just, I could see the light bulb kind of go on in her head about how directly linked our businesses are and how much opportunity there is. So that's something like I want to keep on the radar and keep exploring.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, like the enthusiasm and excitement that Lindley's brought to Gibson's has inspired me. And now I look at kind of what my runway looks like. And it's, you know, it's shorter, but I think you've probably found when working with business owners, it's tough to let go, but you have to be able to kind of see that it's time to pass a baton. And if it can be done in that running race where that baton gets transferred seamlessly, like that would be my dream in that. Really, it's just this transition without a lot of fanfare. The role of visionary is a fun one because you get to blue sky a little bit more. But when it comes to the execution, that's where the rubber hits the road, as they say. And what I'd like to see is us get, like as Lennon said, we've had some positive growth, scale to a point where our organizational chart is structured in a way that the leadership team can really focus on crystallizing what they're really good at. And sometimes, you know, when you're a smaller business, you're wearing a few different hats and you may like wearing that one hat more than the other, but we're getting there as we grow, we're able to hire and then create the kind of the silos of accountability where the individual leading is like, that's what they do. That's kind of like looking at so my time and then taking more time with Nancy's my wife. She loves to travel and I think has really inspired me to travel more. And we started off with hearing that I went to just return back from Antarctica. And I would recommend that to anyone that is looking for adventure and a really surreal experience.
Where's the next adventure with Nancy?
We're actually heading to Portugal next October for a river cruise.
Nice.
Which is great. But following that, we've already booked a safari.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, which is great. So we're 2 years out on that one. That's our next really big one.
She has it lined up.
Well, now that we're connected, I look forward to following both of your journeys. They're going to be a little bit different, but look forward to hearing about all those adventures on both sides.
And just a fun story that because we're the only family who ever would do this, but when we traveled growing up, we would stop in at a dry cleaner wherever we were. So like you're in Italy and you're like that family that's like getting a photo with this like Nona.
No way.
Went to Australia last year on a cruise. And sure enough, we got some pictures that the tour guide had organized a tour through the ship's laundry. And I'm sure it made those people stay because, you know, how often are guests super interested in like the laundry systems on a ship?
We might have to steal that idea and like insurance brokerages around the world. Maybe that's our new trend.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Al, you're up with the signature question.
All right. Well, you know what? And it's interesting that we just talked about the future of where you see the company and where you see yourself. So maybe this one looks a little bit even more into the future. So here we go. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So could you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
Mm. I actually knew this question was coming from the conversation you had with Ed and Kaylee.
Wonderful.
I actually think it's a difficult one to answer because a lot of people don't look so far forward. Two are coming to mind. I mean, one with our family golf tournament, the McConnell Classic, that kind of started in memory. Well, my grandma had a close connection to cancer and we have a close connection to Muskoka as a family. And to see that kind of carry forward, she's passed away now and kind of see how like that legacy has continued. We're really close with the camp director and I mean, just even seeing people show up year over year and really who want to get involved is really powerful. So it's like the McConnell family and how it's grown and how something can expand. And then I think with regard to Gibson's, it is, I mean, I don't know if Joseph Gibson would ever think that this business would be still thriving in 2024, which is pretty crazy to think about. So I guess our legacy of thoughtfulness.
Yeah, I think that's well said. It goes back to when you're fortunate and you recognize it and you think, oh, shoot, like it's been pretty, this has been a good run, is an opportunity here to help someone so down the line that never thought they'd really experience success or a life that they're having that came through, you know, starting with an organization, perhaps doing something at one level and then taking it to another. So I think that what I'd love to see is individuals at Gibson's, as they have joined our organization, see an opportunity and take it if it's there, and then look back and say, holy, this has been a great run, and then just be able to pass that down the line. So developing leaders, I think that's what they said. I'm not sure where it came from, but you're really not a strong leader until you've developed other leaders. So that's really what I'm thinking. If individuals, like we've got a couple right now that are heading to Washington in the next week to take an education course in the fabric care industry. And I don't think they'd ever thought they'd be getting on a plane, going to Washington for a course in, you know, fabric care, right? And then coming back, and that's going to hopefully propel them into another level.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm glad that you mentioned your work with the McConnell Classic and Camp Hoochkeus. That's something that I believe the invitation actually to this year's tournament showed up in our inbox yesterday. So good timing.
Great.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you. That's a June 4th date, Al. So
yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yes. It's a full field golf tournament. And so you guys look like you could be golfers. So
we send Joe.
If you saw me out on the golf course, that statement would go away very quickly. But I'm sure you've touched many lives with that. So I'm glad you did mention that.
Yeah. And we happily send Joe, our business partner, who actually can golf. So we say, yes, Joe, go buy your foursome, whatever. We're happy to pay for it, because Al and I on the course would just be disastrous.
Well, Robin, thank you for bringing that. But, you know, we can end on this because you mentioned that relationship with your dad in the insurance industry. Well, my dad hired Joe. And I think that Joe is always one of the first to respond with his group. So that's you guys. So you're there. So thank you so much for that.
Well, we'll give Joe a plug, because Joe is one of those guys.
We love Joe.
Who doesn't?
I was talking to my wife, and then Joe's one of those people. And I said, because it's just me and my wife, right? She doesn't have any family left. And she knows anything ever happens, you can call Joe at 4 a.m. and he will drop everything. He will get out of bed and he will come and help you in any way. And he does that for everyone. My office, he's right beside me in the office, not in today, of course, but I hear people call him. And a lot of the time, Joe is the first call people will make. We had a client this week, or a former client, didn't have benefits with us. They used to, he had moved jobs. He's in the hospital, coming out of surgery. His first call is to Joe. Hey, Joe, what do I do now? So yeah, Joe is a big supporter. He always talks to us about the tournament, said, it's been this many years, and he still asks, oh guys, I'm going to do a foursome. Can I do, Joe, like without, like, you don't have to ask, like, just do it. It's such a good cause. And he always comes back and talks about what a great time he had and everybody that he met. So kudos to your team for organizing that and keeping that going. I want to say thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for sharing your story. And of course, Kaylee and Ed, a big thank you. This just reinforces my belief that really, really good people know other really good people. So thank you for the introduction. What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions about yourself or what you're doing at Gibson's Cleaners?
I think you can always reach out on LinkedIn, Lindley McConnell, Rob McConnell, and of course our company page, Gibson's Cleaners.
Okay, wonderful. Well, that does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, Al and I hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or rejoin the conversation on LinkedIn. As we've seen here today, success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.